God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Today I want to talk to you about war stories. Who likes war movies? A lot of the men, some of the ladies. The thing is, each and every one of us have got some, have got a lot of, we got stories. Some of us got more war in it than stories, but the fact of the matter is, each and every one of our individual stories, there are certain battles that we fight, and there's each and every one of us have unique what God has done uniquely for us. And I'm going to start today looking at two specific battles that we fight, and then probably continue with that with the third and the fourth one. And it's and the four battles that we fight. This is making it easy for you to remember: battle 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay. All right, so that's gonna be easy for you to remember. Okay, so today specifically, I'm gonna focus on battle 1 and battle 2. All right, and then we'll come back to battle 3 and 4. Okay, I know how to pronounce 3, and I know how to spell it. Just for our visitors, I know I am Afrikaans, but I know how to pronounce 3. Yeah, so the question is with regards to these different battles, is what is your story? What is the story that God is unfolding in your life, just in general, but also with regards to these stories? And read with me as we look at battle 1, James 1 verse 13 to 18. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. The thing is, we're going to come back to those first parts of the scriptures there, but there at the end, he just says there that he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. That birth that he's talking about there refers back to our new birth, refers to us being born again. John 3, there's a teacher of the law that comes to Jesus and asks him, how do I inherit the kingdom of God? And then he replies, paraphrasing a little bit, make a long story short, he said that you need to be born again. And he asked him, how do I get born again? And he said, you need to be born of water and of the Spirit. I'm not going to stand still very long on this first battle, because I believe that God wants to mainly focus today on the second battle. But the thing is, the second battle cannot start happening before this first battle isn't settled. And the thing is that us being born of the Spirit, or being born of water, is our natural birth. It doesn't refer to baptism. It refers to our natural birth. Our mother's water breaking, being born, etc. Being born of the Spirit then refers to us being us making a commitment to follow Jesus, us giving our lives to him, us basically laying down our lives, picking up our cross and following him. That is how we get born again. And the good thing about the first battle is that it is won, in a sense, on our behalf. It's just a matter of, are we making Jesus' victory our victory as well? And it only applies, his victory only applies to us once we basically, I want to say, change sides. Okay? Meaning that, who won last night, by the way? Bulls or Sharks? The Sharks. Okay. So it basically means that you, if you're a Bull supporter, you need to go over to the Sharks in order to have part in the victory. Okay. Of last night. I'm not talking about eternity. Okay. All right. That means that you change sides in for eternity, choosing from being not in Jesus, not being within Jesus' team, if you want to call it that, to being in His team, walking in the light, following in what He has said and what He has done, and then from there on, then following in what He says. Okay, so before we talk about battle two, the question has to remain, has to stick with each and every one of us, and that is something that we need to also then take forward: is have we, is Jesus' victory your victory? Because everything, every battle from there on can only be won and lost based on the fact that Jesus' victory is your victory. Okay, meaning that He overcame death and He overcame sin, and therefore we can have eternal life and we can have that victory. Okay, so I'm going to give you something to remember this by. Okay, there's that scripture that says, where, O death, is your victory, where, O death, is your sting. Okay, now I'm going to help you to remember that by Muhammad Ali's "Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee." Okay, there's no sting, there's no death, there's no victory, okay, that death has anymore, because Jesus already overcame. Okay, now to take that a little bit further, we get saved by grace, right? You'd agree. Anybody agree? Yeah, got about one or two. Okay, we saved by grace through faith. Okay, so it's through faith in Jesus Christ, but by His grace that we are saved. The thing is, a lot of the times we start then to come and start battling battle number two, and we think we need to do that in our own strength. And it is actually that same grace. Well, grace in the first battle, it's His grace that saves us. But that same grace then goes further and enables us to fight further. And that's where a nice left-right combination, okay? Battle 1-2, remember that. There's both of them are won by grace. Okay, so say with me, 1-2. Okay. Okay, by grace. Everybody, by grace? You're going to remember that. Okay, so that's a couple of things for you to help remember that we are saved, but we're also sanctified by grace. Okay, sanctified is what I'm going to talk about now. Battle 2. Okay, so I'll explain why I'm saying battle 2 in that context there a little bit later. It'll become clear for you. All right, so now we come to salvation. Now, before we came to salvation, we had one nature, and that's why I appreciate, well, all of your testimonies so far, but Nikki's one was the most in line with what I'm going to be sharing now, is that before we come to salvation, we have one nature. What I mean by that is we have one place of where we operate from, and that is a sinful nature. So you cannot help but sin before you don't have a change in nature. Okay, because your nature is a sinful nature, it's a fallen nature. The moment we get born again, God gives us a new nature. But now the problem is that sinful old nature, it's still around. Have any of you, after you came to Jesus, sinned again? Okay. That's just evidence that that old nature of yours is still around there somewhere. Okay. Just depends how strong or weak that sinful nature of yours is. Okay. So every one of us are in that same boat. Yeah. Okay. Either maybe there's one or two or a handful of people that have not had a change in nature yet, who haven't made a commitment into Jesus Christ yet. And there's good news. I'm going to give opportunity for that later. But the thing is that for the rest of us, we're in the same boat of we have these two natures. And they are directly in conflict with one another. Read with me from Galatians 5 verse 19 to 25. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I had, this last week or two, I had a very real encounter with my old sinful nature again. Yeah, not that I don't have that encounter with him day by day, but this was just a little bit more on the forefront. And this tends to happen when we spend less time with God, when we spend less time in His Word, and less time in His presence. So I was running low a little bit towards the end of the week, and I went to have lunch with somebody in the congregation somewhere, and I just pulled to the side of the road, and fox, sorry, I haven't seen him for a while, comes out of the mother's room. So I pulled to the side of the road, and I mean, it's a big road, okay? I'm in nobody's way. And all of a sudden, this guy from behind just hooted me. Now, I was like, and I had this knee-jerk reaction. You know what's a knee-jerk reaction? If you hit yourself here, your foot goes forward, okay? It's just an automatic reaction. I had this automatic reaction of just zapping this guy. I was like, where did that come from? God. So I thought, okay, I'm repenting of this. Okay, that's not good signs. This means that I'm running low just in terms of the presence of God, and just in my sinful nature is just starting to get the upper hand here. So a couple of days later, here in West Dean, Melville, there's a circle there. Now, for those that are in the Western Cape, I want to explain to you how small circles work. Okay. If it's a mini circle, okay, then, or let me rather explain it from a big circle point of view. A big circle is you give way to the person that is in the circle. Okay? Normally they would come from the right. Okay? But it's not necessarily the person that is not yet in the circle. Okay? If he's in the circle, then it's you give way to the right. How a small circle works is nobody's in that circle unless they are like halfway through it already. Okay? So it's a very small one. So in that scenario, you actually need to give way to the person that is first there. Okay? Because if you're going to give way to the right, if you follow that trail, this person is actually also on your right. Okay. Anyway, so the circle in Melville. So the circle in Melville is an in-between circle. Okay? It's like a medium-sized one. Now, I understand that when the traffic is heavy and so on, then you give way to each other. But now I'm coming over from the robot, which is about from here to where Stefan is sitting. And so you can't just park off and let the traffic back up into the intersection. So there's a guy in front of me and he turns right. And I'm directly behind him and I go in and I turn right. And the person right on that side of the circle, so it's got like a 4 or 5 splits in the circle, hooted me. Obviously, I don't know. This is what I have realized, is that I have a knee-jerk reaction to people hooting at me. And I had the same reaction that I had 2 days ago. So I was like, okay, this, I'm really just in contact with my sinful nature with regards to that. But the point I'm making is that a lot of the times we do things that we actually do not want to do. And we have this question about, where did that come from? I thought I'm saved and sanctified. I'm preaching in the front, right? Those are the kinds of questions. And sometimes we go as far as we doubt our salvation even. Like, but God, like you say, you make all things new, et cetera, et cetera. And you say, but didn't I kill my old nature? You say, crucify your old nature. Didn't I kill it? And the thing is, you're only going to be fully delivered from that the day you die, or the day when Jesus comes back. Okay, so I'm going to give you some pointers about how we can just make the one a little bit stronger than the other one and kill off those desires, because that is what Scripture says, is that we need to die to those things. Okay. The other thing is, a lot of the times God also gives us something to do. The sinful nature that I was now talking about is with regards to outright sin. Sometimes God gives us certain things that to do, like obedience things in following Him. Like, for example, the word that Peter came to share with Henny. That is something God laid upon Peter's heart to share. The temptation in that situation for him is to not be obedient to that and back off. And it is our sinful nature that would want us to argue for us not to be obedient to what God is telling us. It is not necessarily, if we act out of the place in the Spirit, then we be obedient like that. Let's read that James 1 verse 14 to 15. That we read that the first time, but now we're going back to the beginning parts. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And I want us to keep that scripture up there just for a moment. And we spoke about this at Bible School 3 on Tuesday as well. This the same scripture is that a lot of the times we try to put certain things or practices in place to try and make us not sin. But we don't focus one step back and we don't try to necessarily change our desire. Okay, because this scripture clearly says that we get tempted by our own evil desire. I want to say that we won't even get tempted if we be able to change our desire for a specific thing. Yeah. Now, we being born again in the first battle, here's a couple of other things that we can birth as well. Is that out of our evil desire, sin is birth if we act according to that desire. Okay, for example, I don't have money. Here's 1,000 rand in front of me. Nobody's even going to know about it. I take that. There's a desire. It remains a desire only up until the point where I actually take it. Then it becomes sin. Now, sin, when it is left unattended, meaning if you don't repent of sin, it can lead to a place, it can cause death. It grows up and it can lead to death. Okay, so there's a very short answer for you. Can you lose your salvation? I'm going to say yes, you can. Okay? But that doesn't mean every time that you sin that now you're not saved, etc. Okay? It just means that if you and there isn't a line that you can draw in the sand here about when is sin full grown. Okay? But what I do want to say is that if you are walking in sin willfully, you are running the risk that your sin is going to lead to death. Okay, either physically or spiritually. Okay, so what I mean by that, okay, that does not mean that if I sin in the same area a couple of times that that this is going to lead to death. There's a place of where you repent. Okay, when I sin, you repent. What is repentance? Repentance is turning away from something. It's a change of mind. It comes from the word metanoia, which is a change in mindset, etc. Okay. But I'm going to put a little bit of different spin on it. A lot of times we paint the picture of us that we are turning away from sin. But I want to say that more than that, it is we are turning towards God. Okay. So when you repent, always think about this, that you are turning towards God in a specific area of your life. So if you're struggling with pornography, then it's not, yes, you're turning away from the pornography itself, but it's more than that. It's about turning to God. And by turning to God, you turn your back on a lot of things. And so that is just one, this is one example, but okay, I'm delving a little bit into the scripture, but I want to, the essence of today, and this is where Nikki's testimony is just so relevant to this, is our desires, if we desire to please God, if we desire to be obedient to God, if we desire God and God's things, then it is so much easier not to desire the things of the world. In that previous scripture where I gave you that just out of that scripture gave you all those examples of what typically what the outflow is of a sinful nature. Okay, so just because you sometimes have these random ungodly thoughts doesn't necessarily make you ungodly. It just means that there's a part of you that still needs to die. Okay, and there's a part of us that continually needs to die as we grow in relationship with God. Okay. Growing in relationship with God is a proactive thing. Would you agree? At Encounter 2 yesterday, Fred shared this as well, is that us as humankind, we have a regressive state. What that means, if we are left to our own, and God doesn't intervene or whatever, then we regress. Okay, things go backward. Okay, things go worse. It's chaotic. Okay, there goes your evolution theory right out the window. Things do not progress. Okay, there is an element of evolution that is right and that is true, but you'll see that those kinds of evolutions is all regressive. Things don't go from one state to a better state. It goes backward. You agree? You get dogs, and then you get four-legged creatures that they call themselves dogs, but they're not really dogs. Yeah. But they're all related. Yeah. Sorry, I'm digressing there a little bit. But okay. The thing is here that when we want to change our actions, we want to change we don't want to be tempted by sin, or we even want to try and change our desires. We try to do this on our own strength a lot of the times. And that's why I emphasized when I started with this battle too, is that is also changed by grace. Our desires can only be changed by God's grace. It cannot be changed by you putting all the right boundaries in your life, having all the right accountability partners in your life. Because you can have an accountability partner that walks hand in hand with you for the rest of your life, and your desire never changes because your desire is still for that sin. And our desire for that sin actually needs to die, and therefore you'll be able to stand. Yeah. Amen. Okay, read with me. Oh, no, this scripture's not on there. Henny touched on this 2 weeks ago as well. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 16. That's a scripture that talks about the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And most, I haven't actually done a study on that, so I can't say all. So for now, I'll say most. Most of the sins that we commit falls into a category of one of these three temptations. Lust of the eyes, meaning something that looks pleasurable. Like, for example, Eve, she took one of the fruit and saw that it was desirable. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily, I'll explain it. The lust of the flesh, that is typically indulging in just something that is, I want to say that overeating yourself might actually fall in there as well, just as a matter of interest. Pride of life. Pride is so prevalent. That is a lot of the times what causes us to sin in a whole lot of other areas. Interestingly enough, Jesus is also tempted three times, right? Remember what his three temptations were? Okay? First one, Satan tempted him to say, this is after his 40-day fast in the desert. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Okay? What is that? Rest of the flesh. Okay? Another one he said was, he took him up on the temple, and he said that, throw yourself off, surely the angels will catch you. It says, that is typically pride. Yeah, I want to show you that I am the Son of God. And the other one was, where Satan took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said that, if you bow down to me, I will give you all of this. Lust of the eyes. Yeah, just interesting. Jesus didn't have those desires, so he couldn't be tempted by that. Although it was a real temptation, obviously. Read with me 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 to 13. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There's two things that I want to highlight there to you. The very first scripture is that if you are sorted, yeah, today, if you're standing strong, I want to say, just be careful. It's the moment that we think that we've arrived that we fall the hardest. Yeah, that we should always humble ourselves to God, and it's by His grace that we remain standing. Yeah, so it is good that we overcome, but we always need to remain humble in that position of where we're standing and not just let our guards down. Okay, and then the other one that I want to focus on there is when you are tempted by sin, okay, that doesn't mean that you are now, because you have the desire that you've sinned, etc. I'm just saying that the focus of where we need to change is in our desires, is and the outflow of that is then the sin. But yeah, is that when you get tempted, okay, we are going to get tempted, okay? Your temptations is just going to change, okay? It's going to change from not doing the right things to not doing the wrong things to not doing the right things. That's most likely where your temptations are going to change from to. Okay. When we get tempted, God says here that He will provide a way out. Good. And this is typically, this is almost the easiest to explain in this way, so it's not limited to this. Okay. When you're in a romantic relationship with a girl before marriage, okay, and you're alone from a guy's perspective now, if you're alone in the room with your girlfriend late at night, okay, that is feeding the wrong desire, I want to say, okay? You can be as holy as you want. You're still human. You still have hormones. And late at night, they just don't function that well. Okay. All right. So, in those circumstances, God is giving you the way out by your own choice. Okay, but even now, you need to look for the door. Okay, you need to be on the lookout for the door. Okay, it doesn't always have to be an emergency exit. Okay, if you use the emergency exit, that means that you've missed the main door. Okay. All right. So you can either use the main door or you can use the emergency exit. It's up to you. All right. But the fact of the matter is that God always provides a way out, and the decision always lies with us whether we're going to act sinfully or not on this temptation or not. Because God also says that He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So you can rest in that, okay, with regards to your old sinful nature, etc., etc. Is that how am I ever going to change, etc., etc.? But God is saying that I will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And that which you can bear is enabled by God's grace. God's grace, if you stand in God's grace, that which you can bear is just so much more than when you want to try and stand on your own. So for those that aren't married yet, I want to say, yes, be accountable. Well, actually, for us that are married as well, be accountable. But with regards to your relationship as well, be accountable with regards to the boundaries. But I want to say, be accountable to different things. A lot of the times, we accountable towards physical boundaries. Do not do this, X, Y, and Z. I want to rather say, try and change that a little bit. And be accountable to the things that you as a couple are pursuing. Are you pursuing God's purposes? Are you, or maybe even a different spin on this, are you catering, you'll know your own limits, whether it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever. Draw a line for you. Say, I don't want to be alone with my girlfriend after 10 o'clock at night, for example. Keep me accountable to this. That's just an example. Use it one way or another. You can set your own boundaries with regards to that. You'll know yourself. Yeah. So how do we change these our desires? Galatians 5, verse 24. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. There's that word, desires, again. Okay, we crucify it. Okay, what is a crucifixion? It's a slow death, right? Like a crucifixion, Jesus didn't die quickly. Okay, so you need to let those things go. You need to let those things die. And there's certain things in your life. I'm not saying this, like making it a slow death does not give you an excuse to sometimes still do it. Just get me right. Okay. Making it a slow death, the emphasis is on death there. That thing must die. Okay. Those desires, you need to do away with those desires. And the way that you do that is by willfully deciding that I'm not going to act in this way and I'm going to focus on that which God has called me to do. And then I want to say that if you are sinning, if there's an area where you are sinning, then I want to say, stop feeding it. Okay? When you feed sin, it says there in the previous scripture in James 1, that when sin, when it is full grown, it would lead to death. Meaning that full grown, meaning mature, when it's grown up. Okay? How does it grow? When you feed it. When you continue to do it. So, just stop doing it, for one, and repent of it. Okay? God's grace is sufficient for all of your sins that you're still going to commit. Mine as well. And every hooter that blows on the road as well. Okay, and then also, so that we need to repent of the tendency that we have of trying to do behavior modification rather than changing our desires. What do I mean by that? We need to repent from trying to fix ourselves and not allowing God to fix us. Because, and I know how it goes, when we so hard try to overcome something or not do something and we fail at it, we really feel bad and it feels like a cop-out just to get God's forgiveness. I say just, not disrespectfully, but I mean, we think sometimes that by just coming back to God, that is just too an easy way out. I need to punish myself. And that is so counterproductive, because now after, in my mind, I've punished myself. Now only I come to God, and all of that punishment that you throw on yourself, heap on yourself, is just unnecessary. It is really counterproductive. And so those are two things, that if we are sinning, we need to stop doing it and we need to repent and we need to return to God. And then we also need to repent of just trying to fix ourselves, and allow God to change us. And then here's a little bit more of a proactive step. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I shared a couple of weeks ago when we were in India, how the Hindu old man that we were sharing the gospel with, how he just said, his response is that, we believe that what we sow, we will reap. And I agreed with him. And I just said, my response to him is like, if you sow faith in Jesus Christ, you will reap eternal life. Yeah, so the point is, with regards to the scripture, before I sidetrack myself, okay, is that there is consequences to our actions, all of them, good or bad. If you sow according to the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. If you sow according to your sinful nature, you will reap from the sinful nature. If you have sex before marriage, I want to say that you are going to reap a couple of things in marriage, some difficulties that you did not need to have in your marriage. That is a taste of reaping in this life what we shouldn't have done. There's a natural consequence to say. Okay, read with me Ephesians 4 verse 20 to 24. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The thing is there that we need to willfully put off our old self and we need to put on our new self. How do you do that? Doesn't mean that you put on a different set of clothes. It's just you change the position from where you operate. You choose to let go of those things. It's similar to just crucifying the old man. You put off the old man and you put on the new man. By old man, I'm not meaning your dad. Okay? It's your old nature. And then just before I finish off, the thing is that the reason why I'm calling this is the battle to the end. The battle too is that this is really a battle to the end. And you can read with me Galatians 6 verse 8 to 9. There's this is a scripture that we read earlier as well. The one that sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And the next verse says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I want to encourage you with that, is that do not give up. No matter how badly you've messed up after you've come to God for the 100th time in a certain area, keep on doing it. Repent of it and allow God's grace to change you. Do not give up, because you will reap a harvest of eternal life if you do not give up. So what's the principle to remember from battle 1-2? What is the principle to remember here from my boxing analogy? Okay? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. 1-2. Okay. Grace. Yeah, that's the point there. Okay. We overcome battle 1 by God's grace. We overcome battle 2 by God's grace.